One is learning to pray in the name of Jesus. Everybody say, in the name of Jesus. And it's that name up there is the name above all names, is Jesus. And so if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, and Proverbs chapter 18. I always like to have you turn to two passages of Scripture. I want you to do that. You know, if you have your phone, some people use the phone. Some people are like me, and I'm 48 years old, so I'm still old school, and I still like carrying the old black book with me. I know some preachers that preach from their iPads, and they go to the Bible app or whatever, but I still like carrying my Bible with me. But any way that you can get to the Word, that's the way to get to it. Amen? And so turn to Philippians chapter 2 and Proverbs chapter 18. I always like to have you turn to two, at least one in the New Testament, one in the Old Testament, just to get you familiar with the Word of God. Because I can remember when I first got saved and I heard the pastor say, I want you to turn to this passage of Scripture, I was like, I have no idea where that's at. And I was having to look in the table of contents. And after a while, after looking at tables of contents and going to the New Testament and Old Testament, I started learning my way around the Bible. And so I want to help you learn your way around the Bible. All right, Philippians 2, verses 9 through 11. And it says, and I'm going to put them up here on the screen for you. But at first, I've got to turn my little clicker on. Got a clicker here. Philippians 2, verses 9 through 11 says, therefore God also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, everybody say Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Amen. Amen. That name is above every name. And I want to start off this message today with a story, a true story that happened in my life where I had a dilemma. It's when I first started walking with the Lord. And I had already been praying this way. I'd already been praying in the name of Jesus, believed in Jesus. I was saved, but I was put in a situation where I had to say, do I really believe what I'm saying? And not doubt and not have unbelief. And we're in a spiritual battle. Amen. And we can all use this name. It's not just because I'm a pastor. Every believer can use this name in prayer and get results if you put faith in this name of Jesus. But I was in a revival meeting. Some of you have heard this story, some of you haven't, so you need to hear it again, and I need to hear it again. But I was in a revival meeting years ago back in probably, I think it was 1993, and I had, or 94, and I had just been saved for literally months. I mean, I got saved in September of 1993, and so I think it was October of 93 when we had this revival meeting. So I'd literally been saved for a month and had been learning to pray, learning the Word of God. I knew that there was power in the name of Jesus. I'd been learning all this stuff. Well, anyway, I was in that mode of when I first got started as a believer, I was like, I want to be in a church where they do the stuff. Amen. Where people get healed, people get set free. I want to see the book of Acts. And so I was praying and believing that way, and I still want to see that today. I believe that every time that I get up here and preach and teach the Word of God, something's happening in the spiritual realm. I'm not just up here preaching some canned sermon and bless you and y'all go home. I believe that today you're going to learn how to put your faith in the name of Jesus and get results in your life. And so anyway, I was in this meeting, and while we had the adults out and they had the revival meeting going on, they had another room set aside where they had a children's ministry going on. And I was an usher. I had been asked to be an usher at this revival. So I'm being an usher, and they asked you to dress in a suit and a tie and at this revival, and so I'm dressed up in a suit and tie, and I'm being an usher. Boy, and I'm ushering. I'm doing the best usher job I can do. I'm helping people get to their seats. I'm doing this and doing that. And after the service was over, had a powerful service, and I went back to, because one of the usher's jobs was to check on what was going on in the children's ministry, make sure the children's ministry was taken care of and all those things, and I just saw Dusty, who y'all don't know this, but he takes care of our children's ministry and makes sure everything's okay back there. And that's why we locked that door back there at the back, by the way, during service. as we just want to be safe around here. Amen. We gotta use our noodles too, and not just say, "Well, we're covered in the blood of Jesus," you know, and we're, you know, and the doors are cut. You know, no. Sometimes you need to lock the door. Amen. So that's why we locked that door back there. But I just saw him leave, and it made me think about that. He's going back here and checking on the kiddos. But that's what I was doing as an usher, was checking on the kiddos. And the service was over with, and they had a great, I could tell that they had, these kids were having a blast in children's church, and they had had a blast. And I saw this little boy, though he was over, like over here in the corner of their room, and he was just laid out on the floor. And I thought, well, that's strange, you know, that he's just laid out on the floor over there. And the lady that was overseeing the children's ministry, she couldn't really go check on him because she was trying to get kids to their parents and get things out of there. So I thought, well, I'm an usher, so I saw this situation. I better go check on this little boy and see what's wrong. So I go over to him, and he's just, he looks like he's asleep. He's just laid out on the floor on his back. And so I thought, man, what's going on here, Lord? And I just felt the unction to pray for him. So I knelt down by him, and I put my hands on his legs. By the way, this is where I learned to pray with your eyes open. Do you know you can pray with your eyes open? You don't have to close your eyes. But I had my eyes closed, and I started praying, and I was praying in the name of Jesus, and I was just praying for this little boy. Didn't even know his name. And I said, Lord, just bless this little boy. And, you know, and I said, I don't know what's going on here, but I know the leader of this meeting of the children, she's busy with all the other kids, and so I'm just going to take care of him and be with him until his parents get here. And this is all going through my mind, and I'm just praying for him. And all of a sudden, I felt this little boy do a, I didn't see him because I had my eyes closed, remember, but I felt him do a sit-up, like he sat up. And I thought, okay, good, he's gonna get up. And so I reached to grab him. When I reached to grab him, I looked in his eyes, and he looked at me, and I saw, I don't know if, you know, as I go back, I don't know if God, I believe that the Lord let me see into the spiritual realm for a little bit. And I saw pure evil in this kid's eyes. I mean, what I saw was just no whites, just blacked out, not trying to scare anybody, but that's what I saw. And I thought, wow, I need to get the person that's leading this meeting over here. And all of a sudden, fear grabbed a hold of me. I'm talking an uncontrollable fear. I wanted to run. I'm like, I'm just the usher. I'm not leading this meeting. I want to run. But I stayed there, and I looked him right in the eye. And nobody's around us. It's just me and this little boy. And he looks at me, and he's looking up at me because I'm kind of sitting up a little bit. He looks up at me with those eyes, and he goes like this. And he starts doing this, and then he starts going like that. And in the spirit, God spoke to me, and he said, they're trying to tell you that there's more of them than there are of you. And God, and all of a sudden, I'm telling you what, this Holy Ghost boldness come over me, and that I've never had before, except for that moment, this Holy Ghost boldness. And God told me, I heard this scripture go off on the inside of me, and I'm going to read it today. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in this little boy. And so I didn't ask this little boy how they got there. We didn't go into all this counseling mode. I just knew I need to use the power of the name of Jesus and cast this thing out in the name of Jesus. So I began to do that. I began to use the name of Jesus, and I began to use it boldly. And it was a boldness not coming from me, coming from the Lord Almighty. And this little boy began to, like what you read in the book of Acts, scream. And by, of course, that drew attention from everybody that was there. And in just a short amount of time, I had other believers surrounding us, and we were all praying, and then somebody started singing some old hymns about the power in the blood of Jesus and using the name of Jesus. So they're singing, and we're praying, and I don't know how many demons come out of this little boy. I don't know how they got in him. I don't need to know any of that stuff. I just knew that they needed to go in the name of Jesus and get out. And so he was delivered and set free right there in my midst in a matter of minutes. And this little boy got up. Nobody told him to do this. He got up, and there was balloons laying around the room that night from the children's ministry. And he got up, and he started throwing balloons up in the air and going, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And he's just running around the room, and everybody is just weeping and crying, and people are hooping and hollering and laughing and shouting hallelujah because the devil was defeated. And a little bit later, of course, my human reasoning came in. It was like, how did that happen, Lord? How did that little boy have that many demons in him? How did that, you know, and this is all the Lord told me. Didn't tell me how they got there and all that. The Lord spoke to my heart and said, Mark, the enemy is attacking young people because he knows he has a long-term lease if he can get in young people. And that's why you need to pray the blood of Jesus over your kids. Plead the blood of Jesus. Pray over them in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Okay. I wanted to start off with that story just to kind of jerk you up a little bit, because I believe that every believer needs to have that. I told the Lord when I was studying this, I was like, Lord, I wish everybody would have that moment where they would cast out a demon so that you wouldn't find out if you really believe in the name of Jesus or not. Because a lot of us walk around and say, oh, I believe in the name of Jesus. Wait until a demon shows up. Do you really believe? And I want to tell you that I this big faith guy, but, you know, here's the deal. I said this last Sunday, I don't believe that a demon or a devil is behind every bush, all right? But I do know when one shows up, I have the authority to kick him out in the name of Jesus, a delegated authority from the Lord. And so we got to use that delegated authority, amen? And I wish I could say I had all this faith drummed up that day. But you know what? The Holy Spirit, if you ever come in contact with one, I can tell you this, the Holy Spirit will give you what you need at that moment. And I needed boldness, and he gave it to me. And so don't leave here, well, I don't want one to show up. Don't do that. God's going to be with you. All right, here's Matthew chapter 28. I want to show you this delegated authority. Matthew 28, verses 17 through 20. It says, when they saw him, they worshiped him. This is after Jesus was resurrected. This is his disciples. I want you to get in this story with me. A lot of us have heard this preached and taught about. It's the Great Commission. It says, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And I want you to, if you got a Bible, underline that. I just want you to see that. Some worshiped him, but some of them doubted. And here's Jesus standing before him in the flesh. I mean, after he had resurrected in his resurrected body. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. And I want you to see where some of them worshiped him, but some of them doubted. And I believe that still happens today. You know, it's kind of like the guy that had the demon-possessed little boy, and Jesus, you know, asked him, said, do you believe? And he said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. How many of you ever been there? Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. I have many a time. But I also want to read this Great Commission. A lot of us have heard that taught out of the book of Matthew, but I want you to read it out of the book of Mark. And I like Mark's take on it because I was named after Mark, the Gospel of Mark. But Mark put action with things, and I like this about Mark. And in Mark 16, verses 17 through 18, it says, these signs will follow those who believe. Everybody say believe. It doesn't say it'll follow pastors, it'll follow teachers, it'll follow apostles, prophets, or evangelists. It says these signs will follow those who believe. And he says, in my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. All this is breaking the curse of the law. I don't have time to go into all that. I will say one, they will speak with new tongues. I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And somebody said, well, how's that breaking the curse? Well, the curse was Adam used to walk in the garden in the cool of the day with the Lord. And he had this sweet communion with the Lord. And so that was broken when man fell. But guess what? In Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came the day of Pentecost and restored that communion that we have with the Father. And everybody said amen to that. So what I want you to get out of this, when I read Mark chapter 6, is he's talking about believers, not pastors, teachers, apostles, prophets, and evangelists. And I believe, I don't want this to sound bad when I say this, but, you know, when somebody's sick, we'll call the pastor. Well, somebody's sick, we'll call the pastor. Well, somebody's sick, we'll call the pastor. Well, yeah, I want you to call me. And I want to pray with you and I want to believe with you. But my job is to equip you to do the work of the ministry. My job is to teach you what this says, is you're a believer that you can lay hands on them, whether it's your child, a spouse, whoever, a family member, a friend, whoever, you can lay hands on them and pray for them. And the Bible says if you believe in the name of Jesus and you pray in the name of Jesus that you can lay hands on them and they will recover. Amen. I see Kennedy over here with her little baby boy, Hudson, right? Yeah. Is he back in nursery right now? Yeah. He's a cutie. And I can remember when Taya was that age, and Jade and I just got saved, and we were walking in this, and Taya came down with a fever. And I told Jada, and this stuff, guys, don't just work at church. It's supposed to work at home, right? And so Jada is telling me, she goes, Mark, Taya's come down with a fever, and she's in there, and Taya's just, she's sweating, and she's just miserable. You can see it. And she was sitting on the changing table, and I'll never forget this. And I told Jada, I said, honey, let's do what the Word says. Let's do what Mark, and I remember quoting this. I said, the Bible says that if you and I believe in the name of Jesus, that we're going to pray in the name of Jesus, we're going to lay hands on her, and we're going to ask for this fever to break in the name of Jesus. And so we did that. We laid hands on her. And we prayed, and nothing happened. I'll just be honest with you, nothing happened right immediately. I'm like Mark. I want immediate things to happen, and it didn't happen. But I left out of the room, and if I remember right, Jada actually kind of screamed and said, "Mark, come here, come here." And I came back in there, and the fever had just broke. It looked like somebody had poured water over her head, and it just broke. And she was fine, acting like a little baby after that. So, guys, what I'm trying to tell you is, as believers, you have this authority to do this, and you need to use it in your home and in your life. All right. Now, I'm going to give you four times, and you can use the name of Jesus all the time, but I want to show you four times in Scripture that we can use the name of Jesus and see results. So it's four times when you should use the name of Jesus, and that's number one, use the name of Jesus to put sickness and disease to flight. And I just read that, Mark 16, 17, 18. In my name, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I put another story there in Acts chapter 3. And it's verses 1 through 16. And I want you to just go to Acts chapter 3 if you have your Bibles there, because I want to show that. I'm going to take a little time and read Scripture, because this is what builds your faith, is when you're getting the Word and you actually see it in the Word. And I've got some other stories I want to share with you too. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 16. It says, "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms or giving from those who entered the temple. And who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms." Now, I want to interject something right here. Is when he saw Peter and John. Do you think he saw other people too? Right? There's a lot of people going in the temple. But this guy, he'd been at this gate for a long time doing this, begging. And he saw Peter and John. And he knew, this just came through my study in this. So I just want to, can I share my studies with you today? All right. Is he knew them because he had seen them with Jesus. And Jesus was a giver. And Jesus gave to the poor, and he helped people. Let me give you an example, something that came through my studies this week. When, remember at night when they were having the Passover, and Judas got up and left the table? Remember that? And it says the disciples, listen to this. I just want you to get this. This is how much Jesus gave all the time. If I'm there, if I'm at the table, and Judas got up to leave the table, you know what I'm thinking? Judas needs to go to the bathroom. That's what I'm thinking, right? Okay, I want you to get in this story with me. But the disciples said amongst themselves, he must be going, because they knew that Judas oversaw the treasure, he must be going to go give to the poor, you know, give. And so I'm thinking, my gosh, Jesus gave through his ministry, was given to people all the time. And so I just wanted you to see that. That's a little side rabbit trail. Because he saw Peter and John. He knew these guys had been with Jesus. And he thought, you know what? I can ask for some giving from them. They're going to give to me. So I want to ask you, are you a giver? You're never more like God than when you're giving. In verse 4, it says, after fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, he said, look at us. And so he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them, because he had before, evidently. Verse 6 says, then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have. And he really meant that. He said, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. I want you to know something. He didn't bow his head and pray. He didn't close his eyes. He just used the name of Jesus. And so he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And when they all knew that it was he who was set begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now, as a lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. I want you to know that healing is God's calling card to tell people about Jesus. And so when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk? He said, it has nothing to do with us being apostles. It says, verse 13, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. Now, verse 16 is the key scripture. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. How did that happen? It was through the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Now, there's all stories all through the Bible about Jesus healing people and the book of Acts, and I encourage you to read them because it builds your faith in the name of Jesus. And I was reading some stories this week about how the name of Jesus brought healing, and there was talking about how a guy was sick in bed and was bedridden. And he had called for the elders of the church to come and pray for him, which is biblical. James chapter 4, that's in the book of James. So he called for the elders of the church. They came and they prayed over him, anointing him with oil, and they prayed the prayer of faith, and nothing happened. And so they walked outside the door, and the elders were talking and said, well, you know, we hope he makes it. We prayed in faith. And one of the elders said, you know what? I just feel that we're supposed to go back in there and pray again, but this time that all we're supposed to do is say the name of Jesus over him. That's it. And so they was like, okay, let's go back in there. So they go back in there, and this guy is laying in his bed, and he's bedridden. These elders circle the bed, and they just start whispering the name of Jesus over this guy. And they keep whispering it, and they keep whispering it. And all of a sudden, the healing began to manifest in this guy. And they got him so excited, they started shouting the name of Jesus, and this guy got up out of his bed and was healed. The name of Jesus, guys, is powerful. Everybody said?
Amen.
Now, here's the key, though. You've got to mix it with boldness, and this is what the book of Acts talks about. In fact, I want you to flip over to Acts chapter 4 with me real quick, and I want to show you this in Acts 4. Acts 4, verse 10, they're again talking about this guy that was healed at the gate, beautiful. Verse 10 it says, and let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. Then if you'll jump down to verse 23 in Acts 4, it says, and being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord, that's key, being unity, and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, Why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness, everybody say boldness, that they may speak your word, and by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. You need to use the name of Jesus with boldness, not wishy-washy, not I hope so. You need to use it with boldness. I was reading a story this week by Kenneth E. Hagin, who has went home to be with the Lord, and he was talking about that that the Lord appeared to him in his ministry, appeared to him and told him that that he said this is he used to be a pastor and he became a traveling minister, a teacher and a prophet. His ministry was growing and the anointing was growing upon his life, and the Lord appeared to him and told him, said, "I'm going to give you a healing anointing wherever you go. And I want you to start, you know, praying for the sick and healing the sick and praying for them." And so he began to do that. And he said, the Lord gave him all sickness. Let me say this. All sickness and disease is called by the fall, caused by the fall. Everybody understand that? There's no sickness and disease in heaven. There is some disease that's caused by demonic influence on a person's life. And so... the Lord spoke to him and said, I want you to pray for all the sick, but whenever you lay hands on sick, and if you feel an electric shock in your hand, this is what the Lord spoke to him, that you know that there's a spirit involved there and you need to cast it out. And he said, okay, Lord. And so he was in a meeting shortly thereafter. He was praying for the sick, and he said, he was just laying hands on people, praying for them. Some came up, you know, the virus, flu, colds, different things like that. But he said, then this guy came up that said he couldn't even hardly move his limbs, couldn't hardly move his legs or his arms, and he was walking like stiff as a board. And he'd been like that for a long time. The doctors couldn't figure out what was going on. And he came forward, and his family was with him and told him what was going on and how they'd been to doctors and blah, 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 and all this. And so Kenneth laid hands on him, and he said, I felt that electric shock just a little in my hand. And so he said, I knew then that something was there that I need to get rid of. And so he said, I command you to be gone in the name of Jesus, and I command healing to come into your body in the name of Jesus. And he said, so I told him, I looked at him, and I said, see what you can do now. And he couldn't do anything. He was still stiff as a board. And so he went on down the line and was praying for people. And I feel like I'm having some people push back a little bit this morning because, God can still appear to people. He can still speak to people. He hasn't changed. He can still talk to anybody he wants to today. And this guy was going down the line praying for other people, and the Lord appeared to him again in this meeting, standing behind people. And let's use this example. Me and Dad, I have a relationship with my dad. And there's times that this morning we were joking around. But then there's times in my life, whenever I was growing up, he doesn't have to now because I'm not underneath his house. But there was times when Dad was, you know, fun, playful. And then there was times when Dad would look at you and you knew, boy, you better shape up, you know. And yes, sir, Mr. Haney, all right. Well, you know, we had... Our relationship with God the Father is like that. There's times God, he's fun, he's humorous, he has, and then there's time he'll say, Mark, and you'll say, yes, sir, God. That means don't do that again. Have you ever felt the Lord do that to you? That's that relationship I'm talking about. Well, this kind of thing happened to Kenneth Hagin during that meeting. He said the Lord was looking to him sternly and said, I told you to cast it out in the name of Jesus and to be bold about it. And he was like, well, I did. I thought I was bold about it. And he realized, he told this guy after he prayed for him in the name of Jesus, he said, see what you can do now. Okay, that's doubt. And he said, I had to go back to that guy, pray the same prayer, command it in the name of Jesus, tell that thing to go. And I told him, I command you in the name of Jesus to bend over. And he said, the man bent over, and whatever this was, it was a spirit that was upon this guy, left, and he had complete use of his limbs and his arms and his legs. So you got to use boldness. Amen. Not this wishy-washy stuff. I'm going to tell you another story. I'm trying to tell these stories for you this morning so this will build your faith, because I want you to start doing this on your own, at home, family, because there's going to be a lot of times where Pastor Mark can't be there. I'll call the pastor, well, I may be in another state or whatever, but you as a believer can use the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And there is so much power, guys, and I believe in the right now power. God's wanting us to believe for stuff right now. Amen. Right now. There's another situation. Some sickness is because of the fall, and like I said, some sickness is because of demonic influence. And there was one story from Kenneth Copeland that I heard that was very good. And I know when I throw out names like Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth Copeland, a lot of the religious world just starts shrieking and going, oh my gosh. And the reason why is because these guys actually do the Word of God. They do the stuff. They do the stuff. And anyway, Kenneth Copeland was sharing a story about he was praying, and his mother was alive, and his mother was a little prayer warrior. And he said, whenever I had meetings, she would be there with me at a lot of my meetings, and she'd be behind me praying in the Holy Spirit as I was praying for people. And I was in this meeting, and I was praying for the sick, and he said, he goes, you know, it's something to pray for the sick when you can't see it, when it's on the inside of their body. He goes, but this lady came up and said she had a cancerous growth on her, he said, somewhere in her hairline, but it came out and it went down over her eye. Okay, this is in America. This is not, you know, a lot of times we think, okay, this is all in foreign countries. No, this is in America. And she came forward and she said, I want you to pray that doctor said this is a cancerous growth. I'm going to have this extensive surgery, and I'm just believing God for it to be gone. And let me back up a little bit. Kenneth had just taught what I'm teaching you today about putting faith in the name of Jesus. So that's what Jesus did. He went around teaching and preaching and healing the sick. What he taught and preached was faith and then healing the sick. So this lady's up front, up there, she's been prayed for. And Kenneth says, and he goes, I had learned since then to pray with my eyes open. He goes, my little mom is behind me praying in the Holy Spirit. She's praying with her eyes open. And he said, God just told me, he goes, I'm telling you, he goes, some of it was bandaged up, some of it wasn't. And so it was kind of gross. And he said, God told me, I want you to lay hands on that in the name of Jesus and tell it to be gone. And it was like what Kenneth Hagin, it wasn't no maybe, wish it will be. I want you to lay hands on it and command it to be gone. He said, I laid hands on her head and said, God is my witness. This is the only time this has ever happened to me in my ministry. He said, I laid hands on her head, put my hand on that growth. I felt it hit my hand, and I said, in the name of Jesus, be gone. And he said, when I and my mama blinked, he said, that cancer was gone. There was nothing there. Bandages, everything gone. He goes, I don't know where it went. I didn't ask God where it went, but he said it was all gone. Her head was as normal as yours and mine. And he said, and we saw that with our own eyes. Gone in the name of Jesus. Guys, there is power in the name of Jesus. What's lacking in the church today is power. Amen. We have this power in us, and it's time for us to start releasing it to the world. And that healing, like I'm saying, is God's calling card for people to get saved. All right, here's number two. I know I spent a lot of time on healing, but I'll give you the next three. Number two is to use the name of Jesus to rebuke lack. Did you know that God doesn't want you to lack for anything in life? And I'm not talking just finances. That's part of it. He doesn't want you to lack spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, financially, relationally. He wants every area of your life to be in abundance. I talked to somebody this week who called me and wants prayer because they have lack in relationships in their family. That's not God's best. Amen? God wants you to have all relationships with your kids, your grandkids, family members. If you don't have those relationships in your family, then some of you in here today need to rebuke the enemy because he's bringing strife and discord into your family. And you need to rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Somebody in the family needs to stand up to it and say, enough is enough. And everybody said, amen. God wants families to get along. I've done too many funerals where families didn't get along. And almost every funeral I'll do, and I'll have to say, it's time to start getting along. Don't let a death come before you start getting along. Amen. I just felt the Lord say that to me up here. Philippians 4, verse 19 says, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Every time we hear the word lack, we think of it's just finances, and that's part of it. But God doesn't want you to lack in any area, and definitely in your relationships as well. Here's number three. Use the name of Jesus to send demons packing. We've been talking about that all service already. Now, I put this little phrase on there. If you aren't born again, which you're going to be by the time you leave here today, or you don't have faith in what you say when you use the name of Jesus, you won't get results. You can even be a believer in the name of Jesus and do this doubt and unbelief deal and not get results. That's where you just need to ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. And you know what? He'll help you. And, like I said earlier, Jesus is not, it's not a hocus-pocus thing. It's not a formula. Jesus is not a mascot, and he's not a rabbit's foot. He's God Almighty, and he wants to have a relationship with you. This is an act, and I'm going to show you this scripture in this. How many of you laugh at the Word of God when you read it? This was no laughing thing, but I was laughing at this when I was studying this. It says, then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. As they saw Paul doing this. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit, look at this, answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And it says in verse 16, it says, then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. They left that house naked and afraid, if you've ever heard of that show. That's where that name came from, naked and afraid. This really happened. It's not a laughing matter because this really happened, but that I love that it says, verse 15, and the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? And what that means is they were just using the name of Jesus like hocus pocus. They didn't have a relationship with him. You've got to have a relationship with Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Believe and faith in his name is where it's at. All right, here's number four. Use the name of Jesus for supernatural protection. This is Proverbs 18, verse 10. Parents, you need to pray this over your kids all the time. Proverbs 18, verse 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Jade and I, we pray daily. And one of our prayers that we pray is we pray over Taya and over our son-in-love, Cameron, now. And we pray God's protection over them. We pray God's protection over us as we're traveling. We pray God's angels about us. And we do that every day. And guys, there is so much power in prayer in the name of Jesus. I'll never forget there was one time, and I can remember the spot in the road on Highway 34 where I was at, and Jada had left with some ladies from the church to go somewhere. And I was driving down the road, and all of a sudden I had the, and when you get, let me tell you something, when you get an unction to pray, pray. Amen. That hadn't been sent to you from the enemy, I promise you. When you get it on your mind to pray for someone, pray for them. And immediately, my wife's name came up to me, and I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, you need to pray over her and pray over this trip and pray God's protection about her right now. And so I did that, and I was driving down the highway. About 30 minutes later, Jada called me, and she said, honey, we had a flat. And they were out in the middle of nowhere, and some guy stopped and helped them and get them back on the road. And I was like, honey, that was right whenever I prayed. And I believe that God answered that prayer and sent some man that drove down, probably told him, hey, go down this road. And he went down that road and helped him get back. So you need to pay attention when the Holy Spirit says those things to you about praying in his name. There's so much power in the name of Jesus. I read a story about a pastor who had left church one evening, and he was coming home from church, but he would walk. And he was walking, and it was at night, and he had four men jumping and was going to steal from him. And he said, I ran to some people's house that I knew that went to our church, and he goes, they wouldn't answer the door. So if Pastor Mark comes to your house and is beating on your door, please answer the door, okay? Something's wrong if I'm coming to your house. And he said they wouldn't answer the door, but he said these four guys, and he goes, I grabbed a broomstick off their front porch, and I was doing what I could to these four guys, and he said, and one of them pulled a knife. And he's like, okay, I got a broomstick, they got a knife, this ain't going to work. And he said, and this pastor was saying, I was petrified, because he was 60-some years old. He's my dad's age. And he said, I'm trying to fight off four guys, and I can't do it. And he's like, I can take them one at a time, but I can't take all four. And he said, all of a sudden, you know, he said, I don't know why I didn't think of this before, but he said, I just felt that just this boldness come over me to just, in the name of Jesus, leave me alone. And he said, I started shouting, in the name of Jesus, leave me alone. And he said, I don't know what happened. He goes, I don't know what they saw, but it was like I had a gun in my hand, because all four of them looked at me scared to death and took off running after I said that about three times. I believe the Lord opened up their eyes to see something, is what I believe. But that pastor was talking about how the name of Jesus brought supernatural protection. Guys, pray over your travels. If you travel by plane, train, or automobile, pray over them and camp God's angels about you. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit when he does speak to you, because a lot of times we play this game that that was just my mind. No, that was the Holy Spirit talking to you. I always use this example of my dad. My dad and I were, he's on the front row, so he gets the brunt of them. But dad was, he was out a few winters ago, was out cutting wood. And he was using a table saw, I think it was, and he had on gloves. And he said, I was running some wood through this saw, and he said, all of a sudden I had this thought, you probably ought to take off your gloves, because that glove could get hung up in the blade. And he said, I didn't pay attention to it. Bloop, got hung up, and had to be rushed to the hospital, the emergency room. So I go to the emergency room to see dad. Dad's laying there, you know, he's bleeding and all this stuff, and I'm trying not to look at it because it was bad. And then dad tells me this story, and so his son gets on to him. I was like, well, you should have paid attention to the Holy Spirit. You wouldn't be in the emergency room if you were. No, but that isn't. It's a true story. But guys, when you feel those unctions to get out and check something on your vehicle or pay attention to those things, that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And that's the name of Jesus. That's the relationship, because you have that as a child. You have that right for that supernatural protection. Did everybody learn something today?
Amen.
Okay, I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And the first thing that I want to do is to make sure that everyone here is born again. And those that are watching by Church's Aid, that are watching by video, and there'll be some listening to this by radio as well, just want to make sure that you know Jesus. And so I'm going to lead you in a prayer. In Romans chapter 10, it says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want to lead you in a prayer, what I call the prayer of salvation, receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And even if you are saved here today and you're in a relationship with the Lord, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God. And you died on the cross for me. And you rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins. And create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Amen. Now, I want you to stay seated right there, and I want to pray this prayer over us. I'm going to make it personal to me, but I'm also praying this over all of us here today. Today, right now, Father, I declare that there's power in the name of Jesus, and it's through his name that we have the victory, and that we have it now, right now. And we have it in the name that's above every name, the mighty name of Jesus. And when we speak that name, demons have to flee. Sickness has to depart from us. And poverty is no longer our lot in life. Lack has to go when we speak the name of Jesus. Jesus is Lord. He is Lord over my spirit. He is Lord over my mind. Make this personal too, guys. He is Lord over my body. He is Lord over all of my affairs in life. I call all of my affairs successful. I call my body healed. Everything in my life is successful. I call my body healed. I call my mind sound. I call the name of Jesus over my spirit, my mind, and my body. I call the name of Jesus over my family and all the affairs of my life. Money and finances, I call you to me now. I call you in the name of Jesus. I call all of my bills paid. I call all of my debts paid and eliminated. I call myself successful to the glory of God the Father and the uplifting of the name of Jesus. I call my testimony effective, and I call my life filled with God's power. Thank you, Father. I name my life after the Lord Jesus Christ. I name my life success. I name my life filled with His power. I name my church successful. I call my pastor successful. Amen. I call everything about this church successful. I call my business that I'm in successful. God, I call my boss successful, my employer. I call my family successful. I call my spouse filled with love. I call my children filled with love, and I call myself filled with the love of God in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. And God is good all the time. All right, I want you to stand up because I'm going to speak a blessing over you. We do this every Sunday if this is your first time here, but I speak this blessing over you. I believe in the power of the spoken word, and I'm going to speak this blessing over you today. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you His peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God Himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. In the name of Jesus, have a blessed week. Love you guys. Be blessed. What's up, Xander? What'd you make, buddy? That's start again, and I don't need to keep on hiding. I'm fully known and loved by you. You won't let go, no matter what I do. And it's not one or the other, it's our truth and ridiculous grace to be known, fully known. And loved by you, I'm fully known.